live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, plans are being drawn up to almost fully reopen the economy by the middle of July. Donegal County Council has today unveiled plans to support the reopening of businesses in the tourism and hospitality sector through facilitating additional outdoor dining and seating areas. A Letterkenny business owner says he wants clarity from the Health Minister as he defends his decision to keep his tanning salon open after a last-minute change to government guidelines. And a Donegal historian says a forum needs to be set up to discuss how best to deal with calls for various statues across the country, which it's been argued glorifies slavery, to be removed. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. But first in news, the reproductive rate of the coronavirus has risen slightly this week. It's now estimated to be between 0.4 and 0.8. Health Minister Simon Harris has said his advice is the rate is staying relatively stable and well below one. Well, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said that the government is working on plans to bring forward elements of the exit plan to reopen the economy almost fully in July.
As a country, we're optimistic but cautious. We're hopeful while avoiding unnecessary risk. In the fine balancing act that our lives have become, we are getting things right more often than not. Our plan is working, and we should stick to it. It all depends, of course, on us continuing to keep the virus under control, and there's always a risk that it might make a comeback.
Meanwhile, Donegal County Council has today unveiled plans to support the reopening of businesses in the tourism and hospitality sector through facilitating additional outdoor dining and seating areas. Owners of restaurants, cafes and eateries can apply for a licence to permit additional outdoor seating areas for the provision of extra capacity to aid in the compliance of social distancing requirements. Cathair Lough of Donegal County Council, Councillor Nicholas Crossan, says the plans are a way of assisting businesses in getting back on their feet.
It's a plan to support the reopening of businesses in the tourism and hospitality sector, helping them to find outdoor spaces for extra capacity during the times that we're going through.
Because we do know a lot of business locally are somewhat in limbo, or they were at least before these plans were unveiled, as to how they were going to facilitate those guidelines which they have to adhere to.
Yeah, well, this is not going to fix all issues that we have through the health problem that we're going through, but it certainly will go through a certain way of adding extra space to people while we're still in the 2 metre zone, that we have to try to encourage people and give them confidence to go out to businesses while still maintaining the health factor in it. This is just something Donegal County Council has come up with, that we can help these people in public spaces like the footpaths or civic areas, which comes under the ownership of the councils, that people can apply for licence to operate in these areas. But the licence, obviously the fee for the licence is going to be waived as well.
And as you mentioned earlier, this will give that reassurance to both business people and customers that everything will be done as safely as possible going forward with these new plans.
That is paramount, what Donegal County Council has come. Donegal County Council is trying to work with the businesses, and we've always tried to work with the businesses in Donegal. They are the backbone of our community. But we must, while we're doing this, we must meet the public health and the safety guidelines, and also we get the confidence of the customer to go back out.
There has been one COVID-19 related death announced in the north today. It's the first after 4 days of no reports of coronavirus related deaths. That brings the death toll in Northern Ireland to 538. There were 4 new cases reported today, with the total number of cases now standing at 1,185. A Letterkenny business owner says he wants clarity from the Health Minister as he defends his decision to keep his tanning salon open after a last-minute change to government guidelines. Tanning salons initially reopened on Monday under Phase 2, but were later advised the same day by the Department of Health to shut their doors again until June the 29th. Owner of Bronze Age Tanning, Bernard Gibbons, says he has gone to great lengths to ensure adequate safety measures are in place. He says he's happy to abide by the regulations when further information is provided by Simon Harris.
Give me the scientific evidence. And again, I asked that of the Gard yesterday. Show me the scientific evidence. Show me how he changed these regulations, where he got approval to change the regulations. And I'm quite happy to abide by them. We have been closed for 3 months. I don't take a decision to close my business for 3 whole months of my premium time. And I have followed the rules. And then we were told we can open Monday. But I would like to know where he got the advice from who.
Green Party leader Eamon Ryan has apologised for using the N-word in the Dáil, but some of his party counselors have expressed disappointment, saying it's not behaviour fit for a party leader. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Eamon Ryan used his Dáil time this afternoon to raise the issue of racism in Ireland, saying it needs to be tackled in all its forms, but he then stunned the chamber while quoting an article.
There was a young Irishman, Sean Galan, giving his experience of being othered, of being from the age of 6, being given that name.
It's 16 years since the N-word was used in the Dáil chamber and it drew immediate criticism. An hour and a half later, Eamon Ryan tweeted an apology, saying it was completely wrong to repeat the slur and that he knows the word shouldn't be used. Some of his party councillors have issued statements condemning his speech. Councillor Daniel Hooley said no parliamentarian who invokes such words should lead an Irish political party, while Councillor Peter Kavanagh welcomed the apology but said the Green Party can't just draw a line under the issue and move on as though nothing happened. Both have previously publicly supported Catherine Martin's leadership challenge, but even allies of Eamon Ryan say it was a mistake that should never have happened, and some in the Green Party believe this ends any hope he had of holding on to the party leadership. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Meanwhile, a Donegal historian says a forum needs to be set up to discuss how best to deal with calls for various statues across the country, which it's been argued glorify slavery, to be removed. Some monuments in the UK have been vandalised or in some cases torn down in recent days. Local historian Kieran Kelly told today's 9 till noon show that a specific platform needs to be established to allow a proper debate on the issue.
Unfortunately, at the minute, we're living in a world now where conversations are getting stifled. We're getting shouted down if anybody dares to have an opinion. My opinion's more valid than yours, and so on. And you see that mostly in social media. And it's not proper conversation. It's not proper debate where all sides are getting listened to. And that's what's getting lost in all of this, is that if there are a significant number of people who are offended by a statue, then of course they deserve a forum to address that too, rather than feeling that they want to vandalise, and which is unfortunately what has happened. I mean, this is we talked about America earlier on. I mean, this stuff in America of the statues being destroyed. It doesn't just happen because of that. It's a buildup of so many things over so many years and pent up frustration and not being able to get their voice heard, and that can happen anywhere.
There's renewed optimism that a deal to form the next government will come in the next 2 days. Sources have said some progress has been made today as the three-party negotiations continue. Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens have been hoping to unveil a programme for government today. Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin has said it's important a new government gets formed to address the issues around COVID-19.
Ireland needs a comprehensive and urgent strategy for recovery. And this is something which will not come while we have a caretaker government and a barely half-functioning parliament. There have been comments in recent days suggesting that even if the majority of members of this House elect a government, it will somehow be a conspiracy against the people. I think the aggressive populist tropes involved in this are not something which can distract us.
Marts in Donegal have reopened their doors this week after a period of disruption during the busiest 2 months of trading in the year. The Taoiseach's announcement that no livestock sales were to take place from March the 13th was said to have been a massive blow to marts and farmers, having had to deal with the loss of sales outlets. However, successful sales have been reported since March reopened on Monday, with Rafal Mart selling 450 sheep by 32 sellers and purchased by 30 buyers. Beef and Suckler editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, Adam Wood, says the new system seems to be working well so far.
Marts are a good example of how they've changed in terms of selling. Over the last few weeks, marts have had really restricted sales in terms of letting people in. Nobody was allowed into the mart. They changed to online selling, and that was a big, big move for marts. And who would have thought it 3 months ago that we would be sitting at home in the comfort of our own homes bidding on smart TVs for cattle? And I guess this week was a big move as well in terms of letting people back in around the ring. So marts had to submit standard operating procedures to the local Department of Agriculture veterinary offices, and that allowed them bring people in around the ring. Now, social distancing had to be maintained at all times. That was 2 metres between everybody that was in the ring. But it worked really well, and I know we spoke to Anne Harkin in Rafoe during the week. She made a lot of changes in Rafoe Mart and invested a lot of money, I suppose, in terms of making sure the conditions were right and making sure everybody was apart. And it worked really well. And other marts in Donegal have done the same thing.
And we do know, though, that despite them doing their best, there will be naturally teething problems with these new guidelines in place.
Absolutely. I guess everybody may not get into the mart because a mart that would have been able to hold maybe 100 people, they could be restricted maybe to 40 or 50 people with the new arrangement. So we're finding that everybody isn't getting into the mart. But obviously they have this, a lot of marts have this online selling tool that people can go onto their phones and they can watch the animal going around the ring on a video and they can bid by just a tap of a button on the phone. So some marts have implemented that and that's going really well as well in terms of, you know, embracing maybe technology and bringing technology into marts and maybe bringing more younger people in to buying cattle.
Cancer screening is expected to be restarted by the end of the summer. Health Minister Simon Harris says dates for the resumption of screening will be provided by the end of the month. Thousands of people have not been screened because of the coronavirus. Health Minister Simon Harris has said resumption dates will be known in the coming weeks.
The four screening programmes are now finalising their plans and I am satisfied that this week we have more information than we had last week, that we are really getting to a point now where the screening programme is able to say that by the end of this month, restart dates for each of the four programmes will be announced, and also that screening is expected to have begun on a phased reintroduction by the end of the summer.
Fianna Fáil's agriculture spokesperson has told the Dáil that the government's approach to increase sustainability from an environmental and biodiversity point of view must also be sustainable for farmers in terms of income and employment. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue was speaking during the annual transition statements on climate action and low carbon development. He told Minister Michael Creed that while farmers are up for reducing the country's carbon footprint, it has to be worthwhile for them.
The farming community very much are aware of the fact that agriculture needs to contribute to meeting to this transition and are very much up for that. And as the Minister has outlined, there's many schemes which have been promoted over the last number of years, particularly in the Rural Development Programme, where the objective is to contribute to improving our carbon footprint and also in terms of contributing to climate change objectives and improving biodiversity. And it is critical now in the years ahead that starting position we have in terms of a green producer of food, that we hold that position in terms of our placement along the world by continuing to be a world leader, not only in food production, but in terms of how agriculture contributes to climate change objectives and contributes to improving our biodiversity and the decline that we have seen in recent decades in that regard. The next CAP programme is going to be particularly important in relation to that, and it's been outlined already in the Minister's comments, the recent publication by the EU of the Biodiversity Strategy and of the Farm to Fork Strategy, which are pointing the way in relation to that. We do have to ensure that there are impact assessments in relation to how that will impact farming within the country, but it does set the direction of European policy, which we will be part of as well. We have to remember that in terms of increasing sustainability from an environmental point of view and from a biodiversity point of view, we also have to ensure that how we approach it is sustainable from an income point of view and from an employment point of view. And while farmers will be expected to do more and are up for doing more, we have to ensure that in terms of their incomes, that they are rewarded for that extra effort that they will be making in the years ahead and contributing.
At 5:15, it's time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. Donegal's Michael Murphy believes a straight knockout format might be the best option for the championship. Murphy, who led his county to the Sam Maguire in 2012, says whatever the format is, getting competitions back up and running should be top priority. Speaking ahead of the re-release of the final two episodes of AIB's Toughest Trade, Murphy says it is ultimately up to the GAA to decide the format.
We need to compromise on both fronts, club and county, in order to get games, playing games and getting our games back up and running is the number one thing at the top of the ladder. I've always said that, maintained that. And in order to do that at both club and inter-county level, we're going to need to look at a format that best suits. And it may mean chewing off probably less games rather than more games. It's hard to look past anything but knockout. But again, we just have to wait and see if that is going to be the case.
There's more from Michael Murphy available in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. Well, there has been various reports circulating in recent days about the format in which inter-county action will return come the autumn. It's understood the GAA could bring forward the release date about the schedule for the revised 2020 Championship from August to the end of this month. The final two rounds of games in the league could be played before the Championship, and Donegal chairman Mick McGrath feels that they will play league games at some stage this coming autumn.
We have two outstanding National League games, one against Tyrone. There is a balancing, I suppose, of promotion and relegation within the divisions of the National League. And Croke Park had to make up their minds, I suppose. What's the most important at the moment? Is it beneficial for Donegal to have those two National League games before they go into Championship? It might be. Some people might look at it from one angle that it could well be. Others would say that we don't need to be playing Tyrone in the league and then playing them again in the Championship. And in Tyrone, I know I was chatting to people in Tyrone. They certainly are feeling the same way. And we wouldn't want that. But if it's the case that Donegal are sitting at the moment in Division 1 with two games left and they definitely need to win one to retain their Division 1 status, then what's the alternative there? That we play Championship first and play that next January, that we play those two National League games before we get to, so I don't think that's going to happen. I would see maybe the National League games being played sometime in the autumn.
In golf, Rory McIlroy is back in competitive action just after 7 Irish time this evening. The world number one plays alongside John Rahm and Brooks Koepka for the opening rounds of the Charles Schwab Challenge. The tournament marks the return of the PGA Tour and has been played behind closed doors. Shane Lowry and Graham McDowell were among the early starters in Fort Worth. Lowry was level par after his opening 9 holes, but a short time ago, Graham McDowell was at +1, currently playing the back 9. In soccer, the FAI are meeting with League of Ireland clubs, outlining details of the financial package they will receive as the Air Trusty League looks to get back into action. The impact of the pandemic has hit clubs hard, and even if the season is to continue behind closed doors or at neutral venues, the package provided will have to sustain the majority of the sides in the league, including Fanharps and Derry City. More details on how the FAI plan to conclude the season will also be known at the talks. Harps are allowed to resume training next Monday. Derry City have been part of the FAI's pilot programme for a safe return to action. The vote to decide the outcome of the Irish Premiership season has been moved back to Friday afternoon. Clubs were originally due to vote tonight. The season could be concluded by either playing the remaining two rounds of games or use UEFA's model to decide the positions. Meanwhile, the Irish Football Association want to finish the Irish Senior Cup, which is at the semi-final stage, so a European spot can be given to the winners. Spain's La Liga is back in action tonight with a massive derby. Arch rival Sevilla take on Real Betis behind closed doors. It ends a 13-week period without football in the country's top flight. The IRFU are promising a modified 2021 season for its clubs. They're targeting a September return for matches in the All-Ireland League. The 2019-20 season was abandoned in mid-March as a result of COVID-19. Among the modifications, it will see teams playing their first rounds of games locally to cut down on travel. Athletics Ireland's Northwest Regional Development Officer Dermot McGranahan has told Highland Radio Sport young Donegal athletes will have a national championship to look forward to in the summer. It was thought the competitions could be ruled out for the year, but Athletics Ireland now have plans in motion to host national senior and juvenile championships in August, subject to government guidelines and protocols. Dermot says that they are close to confirming national finals for athletes.
Fairly excited and working extremely, extremely hard to try and get competition going, you know, and that's the next step, really. There was a meeting last night and, you know, it's not confirmed, it's not 100% confirmed, but if you asked me 3 days ago, would there be competition, I would have said no for juveniles, but I would say yes, there's going to be competition now. It has to be passed by Sport Ireland, the government and Athletics Ireland, but listen, there's procedures in place now, there's dates set in place from last night.
There will be a national finals for juveniles.
Absolutely, yeah. All going well and all being passed. There's a bit of legislation to be passed because it's possibly going to be direct entry to nationals, so that has to be passed by the governance of Athletics Ireland, one thing and another, and Sport Ireland. The reason there possibly be no regionals would be maybe the lack of venues.
That's Dermot McGranahan, Athletics Ireland's Northwest Regional Development Officer. You can hear more from Dermot talking about young athletes getting back on track and those championships on the SCORE programme tonight. I'll also be talking to Derry City Manager Declan Devine on the club's return to collective training this week and working through the FAI's pilot safe to return programme. And Donegal GAA Chairman Mick McGrath will also be on the SCORE programme speaking on a number of issues around the GAA return roadmap. That's the SCORE tonight, just after the 7 o'clock news. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin, and it's now time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. In this bulletin, we'll look at a proposed new retirement scheme for farmers in the next Common Agricultural Policy, and how the IFA is threatening legal action over the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission ruling on the beef industry, in which it found no evidence of a cartel between factories in the state. To get more on these matters, plus the EU Commission's target to have 25% of EU farmland classed as organic by 2030, I've been speaking with Amy Ford, Deputy News Editor of the Irish Farmers Journal. Amy Ford, big news story this week, lump sum payments for farmers to retire. That's one of the headlines that has stood out in the Irish Farmers Journal. And in a county like Donegal, where we have a very high percentage of farmers aged over 65, there could be big interest in this.
So the European Commission has opened the door basically for Ireland to introduce a new farm retirement scheme as part of the next CAP. And so farmers listening will remember the last retirement scheme was in place in the late 2000s, and farmers aged between the age of 55 and 65 were able to apply for that. So if there was to be a new farm retirement scheme, it would certainly help in terms of access to land for younger farmers. And, you know, that's a key barrier that young farmers face in getting established in their own right in farming.
So I take it this will be widely welcomed.
Yeah, if one is introduced, I'd say there would be good take-up of it. You know, there is good appetite out there for a farm retirement scheme. It was it was something that's been requested that farmers have brought up in debates with political leaders and with the Commission in terms of bringing one in, like in terms of what it could look like. The last farm retirement scheme offered 15,000 per year for up to 10 years for farmers taking part. So I'm sure it would be widely welcomed, especially given that incomes on dairy or on beef and sheep farms at the minute and over the last number of years have, of course, been falling.
Now, do we know how this will be funded? Will it be primarily or all from the EU funding, or will the state here have to make a contribution?
If it's part of the CAP, I would say that it would come out of our CAP fund, so it could be possibly as part of Pillar 2. So not from direct payments, but from payments that are in new schemes in the rural development pillar. I'm sure Ireland could match funding if it wanted to do that, but if it can come out of Europe, I'd say that that would be the option that would be chosen.
And I presume in many other countries in the EU, we have a similar scenario with many ageing farmers. The age profile is such that this will apply not just to Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it'll come down to what each member state, each country wants to introduce. And I suppose if farm organisations have been lobbying hard enough, they would hope that a farm retirement scheme would be on the agenda.
And finally, on this topic, I suppose one of the key things will be that any such scheme should be transparent and relatively easy to apply for and not too much red tape.
Yeah, as with every scheme out there, Chris, the simpler the better, I suppose. And when I say simpler, I mean the easier it is to apply, you know, less bureaucracy, the better. Farmers tend to feel that there is too much red tape around applying to certain schemes and to apply for certain payments at the minute.
Now, moving on to something totally different, and the beef industry, as we know, has been going through a pretty torrid time, and the IFA has threatened legal action over the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission ruling on the beef industry. Now, this is all because of allegations and suggestions that there's been a cartel between factories. So what exactly is going on?
Yeah, so all through last year, the Competition Consumer Protection Commission received just around 200 complaints from beef farmers, from farm organisations such as the IFA, in relation to the beef sector. Some complainants alleged that there was a cartel in the beef industry. They wanted the CCPC to look at feedlots, to look at the offal industry. And last week, the CCPC gave its result of an examination of the beef industry, where it said there it found no evidence of a cartel in the beef industry, that there was no breach of competition law in relation to inspect bonuses, and you know that all the allegations in one way were unfounded according to the CCPC. Now the IFA has said, IFA President Tim Cullinan called the examination pathetic, and he said that its legal team is now looking at the correspondence from the CCPC to explore what legal and other options are open to the IFA. So he said that the CCPC won't try to use its powers to try and seek evidence. So a key part of the issue is that the examination was not an investigation, which is, you know, higher up again, and they're looking for an investigation. But in order for an investigation to take place, they need evidence or a witness to come forward to say that there is, if there is, you know, price fixing or other cartel potentially like behaviour. So they're saying that evidence is needed before it can go any further again.
A case of watch this space. Now, moving back to CAP-related matters, and there was a webinar hosted by the Irish Farmers Journal and the European Commission, and one of the things that came out that stood out was in relation to organic farming, and there is a general consensus now that this could be more sustainable in environmental terms than a lot of other things on the table going forward.
Yeah, so the last couple of weeks, the Farm to Fork and biodiversity strategies, so they are plans by the European Commission that will apply across the EU, and they contain targets towards 2030, one of which is to increase the area of organic farmland to 25%. The Commission has said that that it'll be up to each farmer whether he or she chooses to go into organics, but that they will be looking at setting targets for each member state to increase their share of organic farming so that the EU increases its overall share. So that's where that one sits. There was a range of other issues discussed in terms of fertiliser use, where that's going. And he also said in the webinar, the webinar was the Director General of basically Europe's agriculture department at the Commission, Wolfgang Bircher. He said that in the context of the two new strategies, that farm incomes will be assessed in terms of the impact of the strategies. So that'll be interesting to see how that pans out in terms of how the increase in organic, how the reduction in pesticides, fertilisers and everything else that's in it will work on against farm incomes.
Amy Ford there, Deputy News Editor of the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news this week, reacting to the announcement by the Agriculture Minister making it compulsory to have approximately 3,000 pre-2013 born animals tested for BVD, the IFA Animal Health Chairman Pat Farrell said this is an important step in establishing a BVD-free status for the national herd. He said the programme is now at a critical point in terms of deciding which direction to follow, and it is vital all of the costs and benefits of the various options are presented to allow farmers to make an informed decision. Meanwhile, ICSA Animal Health and Welfare Chairman Hugh Farrell has called for all imported livestock to be BVD tested in advance. Now, many listeners may be aware of the horrible incident in County Wicklow recently regarding the slaughter of lambs in a field. Well, IFA Sheep Chairman Sean Dennehy said the theft of sheep and lambs is a problem that needs to be sorted out on a national basis. He is encouraging farmers who discover that sheep have gone missing to make a full report to the Gardaí in order to assist them with their inquiries. The IFA Farm Forestry Chairman Vincent Nally has called on the Minister for Agriculture to step in and resolve the current crisis with forestry licences before the sector collapses. He says the sector is in a state of emergency. He pointed out that many farmers have money tied up in forestry that they would like to release to help them through the present income crisis, but they are unable to do so due to delays in the system. And farm building contractors are likely to be very busy for the rest of the year due to the loss of valuable time during the COVID-19 related restrictions and the pending closure of TAMS at year end. Tom Fallon, Tiagas Farm Building Specialist, is reminding farmers of the health and safety requirements, and Tiagas is providing valuable information on farm buildings to the industry on its public website, and farmers in particular will find the two-page document titled Farm Buildings Project Delivery very useful indeed. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Finally, for weather now, staying breezy and mostly dry for the rest of the day, with bright or sunny spells this evening and fresh and gusty northeast winds. After mostly dry evening, showery outbreaks of rain will spread overnight with lowest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, plans are being drawn up to almost fully reopen the economy by the middle of July. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has told the Dáil the early indications from phase two of the easing of lockdown measures are positive. Well, Donegal County Council has today unveiled plans to support the reopening of businesses in the tourism and hospitality sector through facilitating additional outdoor dining and seating areas. Owners of restaurants, cafes and eateries can apply for a licence to permit additional outdoor seating areas for the provision of extra capacity to aid in the compliance of social distancing requirements. A Letterkenny business owner says he wants clarity from the Health Minister as he defends his decision to keep his tanning salon open after a last-minute change to government guidelines. Tanning salons initially reopened on Monday under Phase 2, but were later advised the same day by the Department of Health to shut their doors again until June the 29th. And a Donegal historian says a forum needs to be set up to discuss how best to deal with calls for the removal of various statues across the country, which it's been argued glorify slavery. Some monuments in the UK have been vandalised or in some cases torn down in recent days. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, June the 11th. The death has taken place of Mary Divert, née McGrath, 88, Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment will be strictly private. Funeral Mass will be streamed live from St Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the intensive care unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Anne Lynn, née Boyce, Kilnamana, Dublin and formerly the Mill Road Glenties. In accordance with current restrictions, the funeral service will be strictly private. The death has taken place of James Jim Gribbins, late of Maharamore, Carndonagh and Carolina, Glenealy. Due to current restrictions, wake and funeral are strictly private. The death has occurred of Josie McCluskey, Ballydonegan Park, Derry. In accordance with current restrictions, a family home and funeral will be strictly private. The death has taken place of Joe McBride, Mulvey House, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be strictly private. The funeral mass on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock can be viewed live via the parish webcam, mcnmedia.tv/camera/Melmount Parish Church, Strabane. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of David Samuel Crockett, 58, Coshquin Road, Derry. Due to government guidelines, wake and funeral are strictly private. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of wish to the Air Ambulance or Muscular Dystrophy, care of Adair and Neely, funeral directors. The death has taken place of Sean Gallagher, 46, at Crohan Heights, Lifford. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be strictly private. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock on clonleaparish.com/webcam. Donations in lieu of flowers placed to the Alzheimer's Society, Kerr Quigley Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Anna Quigley, Nate Doherty, Somerville Healthcare, Strandhill County Sligo and late of Crehennan, Quigley's Point, County Donegal. Due to current restrictions, reposing, prayer service and burial are strictly private. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired to Moville Methodist Church Hall Restoration Fund at feelies.ie/pay.